Anybody here ever had a good coach or a mentor? I was in grade school went to a Catholic school that was part of our church in St. Paul, Minnesota. And we had a history of good football teams. And so we had a good system, and I played football for them from St. Luke's 6th to 8th grade. And 8th grade, we actually had won the championship.
Woohoo!
But our coach, his name was Wally Westcott, was a very was an excellent coach, really big on the fundamentals and teaching and just helping us learn and grow in football and just character and in life. And so as we're looking back at the disciples, I mean, can you just imagine what it was like to be with Jesus and to walk with him and to have him as a coach and a mentor? And they were with him for 3.5 years, and all the things that they saw and learned from him. And I like this scripture in Mark 4, verse 33, and I want to read this in the Message translation. It says, with many, and this is the parable of the sower. He just taught that, and this is afterwards. With many stories like these, he presented his message to them, fitting the stories to their experience and maturity. He was never without a story when he spoke, and when he was alone with his disciples, he went over everything, sorting out the tangles and tying the knots. And a lot of them were fishermen, so this kind of goes along with that. But I just love that image of Jesus kind of sitting with them, you know, having a discussion, talking about things that he had been teaching, and a lot of people didn't understand what he was saying, but he was making sure that they got it, that they understood. And, you know, and so again, how awesome to be with him and to have him there in the flesh, teaching and training them. And so I say all that to read this scripture in John 16. And in John 13 through John, the Gospel of John, John 13 through 17, were things that he was sharing with them at the Last Supper. And so these are like his final words. He knows what's going to happen. And so he's kind of getting out everything that he feels that needs to be said, the important things, the last things here. And so this is John 16, verse 4. But I have told you these things now, so that when they occur, you will remember that I told you of them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. I mean, I'm with you in the flesh. I didn't need to do that. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts, taken complete possession of them. So it was the Last Supper, he's talking about what's going to happen. And it was very somber, emotional time for them. And they're not wanting to let go of him. They want him to be here like he had been. And so sorrow had filled their hearts. And so it's in this context, let's read verse 7. And you really, it's going to take a revelation from God to understand this. We are so naturally minded. The flesh is so prevalent in our lives. But let's look at verse 7. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Isn't that amazing? They're having a hard time with this, him leaving. They don't want him to leave. They don't understand all that's happening. And now he's saying to them, it's to your advantage, to your profit, that I go away. And here's the reason. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, this is talking about the Holy Spirit, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. You see, just one word doesn't just able to describe the Holy Spirit. He is a series of words to be able to explain him and his role in our lives and in Jesus' life. Will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And again, they didn't understand that, but he's trying to prepare them for what is to come. And it's really a beautiful plan. Instead of the Holy Spirit just being on one person, he can now be on a group of people, and they can now don't have to be in one place. They can be all over the earth. And that same Spirit that was on Jesus doing the works of the Father can now be on multiple people. So it's a beautiful plan. But again, it takes a revelation, a spirit. It's a spiritual thing to be able to understand the benefit. And so Jesus knew the benefit of the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you just for a moment Jesus' biography in the Holy Spirit. And again, I can't go through all the Gospels, but here's just a few things about Jesus in the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So right from the beginning, Jesus' life is influenced and impacted in a significant way by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was dedicated in a supernatural way by the Holy Spirit as a baby in the temple by Simeon the priest and Anna the prophetess. Jesus' public ministry was announced by John the Baptist. And what did he declare? He declared Jesus was the one who would baptize in the Holy Spirit and fire. So he's talking about his ministry. Jesus is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Then in the River Jordan, he was baptized by Jesus. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Remember the dove came down? And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 4 talks about, we read this earlier. Luke 4 says, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. In Luke 4 also, Jesus announces that he is the fulfillment of what is written in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Acts 10 says God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power and went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. So he went about doing good, he went about being a blessing, and he went about healing. All that came from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. At the Last Supper in the upper room, he teaches the disciples about the importance of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, Jesus tells the disciples to wait for, and Luke 24, Jesus tells the disciples to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. And then Jesus, after he dies and he's placed in the tomb, he was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in me. So from the beginning, all throughout his life, in his death, and then when he's seated at the right hand of the Father, he pours out the Holy Spirit upon the church on the day of Pentecost. So it's in that context that he says, it's more advantageous for you that I go away. It's to your profit. It's to your benefit that I'll go away. Why? Because I will now send the Holy Spirit. And just like he was on me, and all the things he did in me and through me, he's now going to do in you. And he's now going to, the head of the church, what happens with the head happens with the body. They're connected. And so, as we got the day of Pentecost next Sunday, you know, we're celebrating something significant in the earth when he poured out his Spirit. And I don't think the church as a whole has really grasped the importance. First of all, many of our brothers and sisters don't even believe that there is a dwelling of the Holy Spirit in somebody. They don't believe, and some have believed that miracles have passed away or the gifts of the Spirit have passed away. All these different things. And so, I mean, we're really, the church has been handicapped. But I tell you what, here at Good News Church, we want it all. We want the fullness, and we want to walk in what he has. And so if he's got more for us, I want it. So in light of that now, let's read John 14. Anybody here want to do the greater works? The greater works? Let's read this. I do. I hope you do. This church, we want to be about the greater works. John 14, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. This is Jesus talking now. He'll be able to do the things I do. What did he do? Healed, raised the dead, cast out devils, preached to the poor, preached the gospel, preached the good news. Be able to do the things that I do. And he will do, and again, this is, you got to be spiritual ears here. I mean, this is going to take faith. We have to believe this. It doesn't happen, obviously it doesn't happen because it's just written in the Bible. Or even that people say it. It's got to be believed. And he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. Now, as we get into verse 13, he's going to give us some insight into the greater works. And I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name. See, we do the works in the name of Jesus. We do the works in Christ's name. We don't do it in our name. He's given us authority to use his name, to use the name of Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name is presenting all that I am so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in and through the Son. Yes, I will grant, I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am. And if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. Now look at the correlation now between the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in you and the greater works. Yes, we're going to use the name of Jesus. But these works are done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like in the ministry of Jesus. All throughout his life, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was working through him. The Spirit of God was leading him, was guiding him, teaching him, training him. How much we more than, you know, do we as his body need to be, you know, in touch with the Holy Spirit, walking with him? I mean, first of all, in order to have a relationship with someone, you have to be aware that they're there. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he will remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. The Holy Spirit, God wants the Holy Spirit to be in you. Now let's read Acts 1, verse 5. This is during the time after Jesus has died. He's been resurrected. He's 40 days on the earth with his disciples and teaching and training. This is one of the things he said to them. Acts 1, verse 5. John baptized with water. What do you do when you baptize somebody? You just sprinkle them? Baptize means to immerse. So if you're going to let me baptize you, you're going under, buddy. You're going under the water completely. That's what baptize means. John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized. You will be immersed with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about immersed with God. The Holy Spirit's part of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You'll be immersed with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8. And now we're going to talk about the purpose. What's the purpose of it, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You will receive power. Everybody say power. You could, you know, say mighty works. You could say miraculous power. This is the word we get our word dynamite from, but miraculous power is a good one. You will receive miraculous ability, miraculous power, dynamic power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. It's a power to be a witness. 2 Corinthians 5 calls it an ambassador for Christ, minister of reconciliation. We call it here the ministry of the believer, or we call it a life giver. Our mission here at Good News Church is empowering people to give life. Empowering you to be Jesus in your world. And I love to gather and come together, but we need Jesus out there. We need Jesus at the hospitals. We need Jesus at the schools. We need Jesus in the businesses. We need him in our families, in our neighborhoods. And we definitely need Jesus at the Walmart. Or wherever you shop. And he chose to witness through his body. He's not appearing here and here and there, you know, at the Walmart and preaching the gospel. I mean, that would be great. But he's chosen to work through his body, people that are filled with his spirit, sharing the same things that he said, and sharing with others. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now let's go over to Acts 2, and we'll talk about the day of Pentecost for just a moment. So he's here for 40 days, and then he ascends into heaven, and then he says to them, go wait in Jerusalem. And so they go wait in the upper room. You know the story. About 120 were gathered together. They're spending time in prayer, going over the scriptures. I think making things right between each other. They pick another apostle. And then finally, after 10 days in the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers meeting together in one place, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, do I have my prop? Who's got my ushers, you got my thing? Any ushers in town? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you got it. I'll have to walk over here. Here we go. No, don't put that in there. Okay, it's in here. We're not having foot washing. Although we could do that today. And I want to just show you about being filled. Now, this is a sponge from my garage. I tried to find one of the really old and crusty ones. You know what I'm talking about? Those ones that you could throw at somebody and you could hurt them. What's the deal? I mean, it's made to clean things. But it's got to have some fluid in it. And if you just let it sit and dry, it's going to rot. This one's kind of coming apart in little places. It's dry. It smells bad. It gets hard. It gets crusty. And that can happen to you spiritually. And certainly if you're not in Christ, that's the condition. I mean, you are decaying. You are rotting. You are coming apart. And so when it's talk about being filled here in Acts, being filled, that word means to fill to the brim, to fill to the full, to the maximum capacity. And so I like the word. I like the word baptize. You're immersed. But now we're talking about being filled. And it's talking about us being filled with the Holy Spirit, us being filled with God. And that's what God wants to do. And that's the beauty of the whole thing about the gospel. What Jesus did is going to the cross and dying, paying the price for our sins, removing that barrier between us and God. So then he can now pour out his Spirit on the church. And just like he was filled in the Jordan, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit that was upon him doing mighty works, that same Spirit is now upon us. So what does this look like? So let's just take this dry sponge and let's put it in here. I'm going to baptize this sponge here. Man, this thing is getting heavy here. Man, it's just oozing out. Look at all that. This thing is full of water. And this is what we need in the church today. We need people that were dry and rotting and coming apart to be allow the Holy Spirit to come in and fill them up. I mean, it's just sucking up the water. That's what a sponge does. Gets near water, it sucks it up. I mean, look, you can't see the level, but it's like it's gone down by more than half. Where is that water? It's in here. We need this. We need to be filled. Got, what's that up there? Some towels? Okay. Thank you, sir. You see what God wants, what God intended, why it's to our advantage? You got to get a revelation of that. And it's important for us today, in order to do what God's leading us to do, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit. To be filled with him. Because if we're going to want to do the greater works, if we're going to want to make an impact on this world for Jesus Christ, I'll just toss it over here. Thank you. We're going to need the Holy Spirit. And to be conscious and aware of his presence. Now this week we're having prayer. And I just want to really encourage you to come out this week. As we're heading into Pentecost Sunday next week, we're going to spend an hour together. At least an hour. Maybe more if necessary. Together in prayer. Going over scriptures. Praying together. Praying in the Spirit. And I believe that'll make a difference. But you know, I want every day to make a difference. I want every day. And I've got to be, because we're living in this natural world, I've got to be more aware of his presence in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. The Holy Spirit is on me. And so we've got to start talking about it. I think the enemy has silenced the church. And we're not talking about miracles. We're not talking about the power of God. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. And if we're not talking about it, then we're not having it. And the mighty works are not going to happen just because they're in the Bible or someone preaches, does a good sermon series on it. It's going to happen when we believe it and when we expect it. And the Holy Spirit is a person, and to have a relationship with him and to be intimate with him and close to him, intimate with him as we're reading the Bible, as we're praying, as we're talking to people, being aware of him. And when that happens, he's going to lead us. And I believe there's going to be certain situations that we might have missed by being insensitive. Situations we're going to be aware of, and we're going to be ready. We're going to be bold. We're going to know what to do. And miracles are going to happen because we're there. And I believe the mighty works, we're going to see more of the mighty works. That's his will. That's his plan. And, you know, you read through the book of Acts. Let's read through some of these scriptures real quick. Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people." Acts 4, 31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled. You just saw what I was talking about here, this example. Immersed, filled to the full. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And look at the result. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Acts 9, verse 17. So Ananias went and found Saul, and he laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might repent, regain your sight, and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Acts 13, verse 9. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. You're going to look some sorcerers in the eye instead of looking down. I like this one. Acts 13, verse 52. And the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So you have the leaders. You have the apostles. You have, you know, the 120 and more are filled. And then now you're talking about the believers here, filled with the Holy Spirit. If they need it, we need it. And last but not least, Ephesians 5, verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody say that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's say it again. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's say it again. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need this today. We need this in the church. We need to be filled. This church needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But again, it's not something that something can be forced on you. It's not something that I can make happen for you, even though I want it badly for you. It comes from you opening up your heart to God. Opening up your heart to God and saying, "I want more." Maybe some folks here today, maybe you feel like that dry sponge. For whatever reason, you just feel dry today. Even if you've been walking with Jesus for a long time. Maybe some here have never experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. And certainly that's for you. But there's others here, you're saying, "I want more. I want more." And so you can be filled and you can be refilled. And he's got that for you. Well, let's stand, everybody. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment and let's just give him praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Father. We magnify you. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to live and to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sins. Bore stripes on his back. He gladly did it. On the third day he was raised. We were raised with him. We are seated with him in heavenly places, blessed with all spiritual blessings. Oh, we're just so grateful, Father, for who we are in Christ. We thank you for today, Father, that you made us righteous, that we've got a right standing with you. We thank you that we are your sons and daughters. You've created us for good works. You've created us, Father, to not only to, for our lives to be transformed, to bring that transformation into our world. Because we're there, we make a difference for Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for the privilege and the honor for us to be ambassadors for Christ, to be ministers of reconciliation, to be believers. And Father, as we come before you today and we're heading into Pentecost next, we're celebrating Pentecost next Sunday, Father, we just come to you as a congregation wanting more. Fill us up to overflowing. Fill us with your Spirit. Just open your heart to him. If that's your prayer, you call out to him. You cry out to him. Fill us to overflowing. Fill us again afresh with the Holy Spirit. Fill us up to overflowing. Let us, Father, be like this sponge, just the Holy Spirit just oozing out of our lives. Oh, and I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we are anointed for ministry. We are anointed for good works. And Father, I'm praying for people today. Lord, thrust out the laborers. Thrust them out. Send them out, Father, into the harvest field. Father, I pray for the people today for boldness. Boldness in the name of Jesus. Boldness. People stepping out of their comfort zone. Led by the Holy Spirit and being bold. Sharing the gospel. Laying hands on the sick. Casting out devils. Boldness. I speak boldness in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for opportunities. Opportunities to step out. Oh, thank you, Father. Greater manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit flowing through us. Especially the gift of faith and working of miracles and gifts of healings flowing through us, Father, as we work with you. Greater works. Greater works. Thank God for the greater works. Greater works. Greater works, we declare in the name of Jesus. Greater works. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you.